Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Ewan Downing. He is the president and CEO of Premier Gold Mines. It's a position that he's held since the company's inception in 2006. He has been working in the mineral exploration and mining industry for more than 25 years. He was the founder of Premier's predecessor, Wolfden Resources, Inc., and has participated in several gold and base metals discoveries. He's had awards, many different awards. In 2003, he was a recipient of the Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada's Bill Dennis Prospector of the Year Award, and several exploration and development acknowledgments from the Northwestern Ontario Prospector Association. So needless to say, Ewan Downing is very well known within the Canadian mining circles, and I'm really pleased to have him on the show with us today. Thanks for joining me today, Ewan.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure.
It's really great to have you. I should just tell our listeners that Premier Gold Mines trades in Toronto under the symbol PG, and you can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol PIRGF. When I looked this morning, it was trading at about US$1.29, giving it a market cap of around $306 million in U.S. money. You and your company recently made some news when you offered to buy out your 50% joint venture partner on the Greenstone project in Ontario. Your joint venture partner is Centerra Gold. Even though Centerra spoke about the Greenstone project as if it was not a high priority project in their portfolio, it refused to accept your offer, and I thought that was a little bit curious. You had a feasibility study carried out in 2016, I believe. The economics were based on $1,250 gold. Now that we're at $1,700 and the oil price is quite low compared to where it was back then, I'm guessing the economics probably look a bit better now. Or what are your thoughts about Greenstone at this point in time, and where does it stand in terms of bringing it on to production? I mean, it is advanced. You've done a feasibility study. Where does it stand now?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Greenstone, the Greenstone Gold Mine project is a fairly large property package, and it's host to multiple deposits. It's not just hard rock, and hard rock is the primary project within Greenstone Gold Mines. As you said, we did complete a feasibility study in 2016, and since then, funded by our partner Centerra, we completed 3 years of additional permitting and economic work in order to get to the point where we have a new resource that came out earlier this year and what was intended to be a new feasibility study. Now, that's a bit of a point of contention that I can't really discuss, but nevertheless, it's a project that contains 7.1 million ounces measured and indicated, 3.9 million inferred, so 11 million ounce overall resource between open pit and underground. It's permitted. It's been approved by the federal and provincial governments, so the provincial government of Ontario, federal government of Canada. All Aboriginal communities have signed impact and benefit agreements. So it's essentially a shovel-ready project. Very few of this scale are permitted in the world, never mind North America. And it sits right on the highway. So infrastructure, it's blessed with infrastructure. So for us, it's a real cornerstone project for our company, and we're hoping it becomes the same for our partner.
Yeah, I have to wonder why you offered them to buy them out for $205 million. I think that was in U.S. money, right? And they refused. What do you think's going on?
Don't really speak to what I think's going on. It could be several things. For us, we were looking forward to releasing a new feasibility study late in the year. Our partner is the funding partner currently, and what we felt was if they genuinely felt there was any issues with the project, then rather than initiate a lawsuit like they had, perhaps they'd be willing to sell their interest, and they refused to accept our offer or counteroffer. So I think that really speaks to the fact that our partner does like the project a lot, unlike maybe what some of the market perception was lately. And now we hope we can we can get together with them and work towards a resolution that works for both parties to advance the project, especially, as you mentioned, $1,700 gold. Our feasibility study was done at $1,250. Fuel prices are well down, and you could do some pretty creative hedging programs that I think would really benefit the project for many years.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at you offered them $205 million U.S. Your market cap is, I think I just said it's about $306 million U.S. So, and that's just one of many projects that you have, and probably perhaps the one, I guess it is the one, obviously, with the most ounces of gold on it. But to put it in perspective, relative to your market cap, this is a very significant asset. And, gee, I mean, I just don't think the market's paying a lot of attention to it right now, or you wouldn't be priced where you are. But I sure hope you can get that moving forward. But let's talk about
it. Yeah, I agree. If you factor in our cash, we just completed an additional roughly $40, $50 million in cash injection. So our company has a very strong balance sheet. When you combine that with Hard Rock being a non-operating project, that the offer to purchase our partner was greater than our enterprise value, I think it really speaks to the fact that it is an underrated asset within our portfolio, and hopefully the market will start to re-recognize value for it. We do, as you mentioned, have two operating assets, one in Nevada and one in Mexico, and we have a slew of other projects that are either permitted or near permitted for development. So Hard Rock, the one that we've been speaking about, is our flagship asset, but it's just one of several.
No, indeed, and exciting, too, some of them. And let's first of all, before we get to a couple, one of my favorite is your Arturo, South Arturo project. But before we get to that, in Mexico, I guess the Mexican government, because of COVID-19, is mandating mining companies shut down or put their projects on hold for now. Is that it? And any idea of when they might allow you to get back up and running?
Right now, what the guideline we've been given is that shut down for the month of April. We're hoping that by the end of April, they're starting to allow companies to start to consider what necessary actions are needed to restart and hopefully initiate those. But right now we are all companies who've been affected by this are in discussions with the government about when we should be able to restart. But when we do restart, it gives us a bit of an opportunity to recheck the asset. There's a few things I think we need to do on the development front, and some of those initiatives we should do before we start full-time mining, that some initiatives I think will help the mine with greater profitability going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, so your other producer then is at South Arturo, and that's a project that you have a 40% interest in, but your 60% partners is, I think, Nevada Gold Mines, which is a joint venture between Newmont and Barrick. And I can't imagine you, and that those two companies would be fooling around for something small, that they would be involved or interested in 60% of something that's not pretty significant. What can you tell us about that project? And as I understand it, there's about three different stages to it. Talk to us about South Arturo.
South Arturo is located on the Carlin Trend. It's in the North Carlin, immediately beside what used to be Barrick's Goldstrike mine. Through the deal that was done last year, the entire region now is owned by and operated by Nevada Gold Mines, as you said, the partnership between Barrick and Newmont. And that left our joint venture is the last piece of that North Carlin that isn't 100% owned by the joint venture. For me, it offers some of the best upside opportunity that I think exists in our company. The project right now producing from a high-grade underground mine, typically on a daily basis, we're producing between sort of 8 and 11 grams per ton, so it's high-grade, high margin. It's not a large underground mine, but it is wide open for expansion. We started the construction of what we call the Phase 1 open pit last year, and we are permitted to build a heap leach project. And instead of building the heap leach project and stripping the pit, we've been stockpiling material. And I think we objected somewhat to that because Premier doesn't really have a balance sheet to build a stockpile. So our view is we should build the heap leach and then strip the pit. And so we stopped stripping for now, and we're working out a plan with our partners. But the reconciliation of heap leach material while we were stripping in 2019 was plus 90%, so almost twice as much as was modeled. And just points a need for more drilling. The Phase 3 project, which is supposed to be the next pit after Phase 1, the grade reconciliation in 19 was plus 72%. So significantly higher grade material was drilled off in 19 than was modeled, and it may actually be the priority project to be built next. And so right now we're in discussions with Nevada Gold Mines as to what the best path forward is for the other phases. El Nino will continue production, but the other phases, and we're hoping to come to a resolution here. Things have been delayed a bit because of the COVID crisis, but we're hoping to come to a resolution on what's going to be the longer-term plan that we can discuss with the market very soon. And we think the potential to define a multi-million ounce deposit downtown and right in the heart of one of the world's most prolific gold districts exists here, and that's why it is being mined, despite the behemoth that was built by Nevada Gold Mines.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, and the El Nino underground mine was, I guess, underneath a previous open pit, right?
Yeah, it was beneath the Phase 2 pit that we depleted in 2017. The average grade mined out of that pit was near 5 grams. And
wow.
Not like the more typical 0.5 grams, it was 5 grams. And so it generated a large amount of cash for our company. With that, we constructed the underground mine, and we started construction of Phase 1 with the profits generated. But at very, very high-grade mineralization in a well-known district that arguably is the most productive gold area in the world currently.
For sure. And I'm just wondering, under the other two pits, is it possible there's some high-grade feeder zones down there as well?
Yeah, and why the Phase 3 pit is maybe moving ahead. As you know, we mined Phase 2 first. Phase 1 is in construction, and Phase 3 was supposed to be next. But hole 4 of last year's program at the Phase 3 pit, below the pit design, we intersected 112.8 meters of nearly 7.3 grams gold. So huge widths, great grades, and demonstrates that deposit is likely significantly larger than we'd previously modeled, and again speaks to the need for additional drilling and just the potential for this area to give us years and years of future production. So it's a very core asset to me as I look at our portfolio, even though we only own 40% of the project.
For sure, it's 40% of something that's likely to be very, very large, I would think, and very exciting for sure. And if the markets can start to see the potential here, I can't imagine that your shares won't react to that. Just with about a minute and a half left here or so, you also have a very exciting exploration project at Red Lake. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah, in Red Lake, we have 100% ownership of the Hasaga project. And Hasaga, we have now defined in the indicated category well over 1 million ounces, about 700,000 ounces in inferred in open pit resources. And these open pit style mineralization were delineated on strike from the Howie Hasaga mine. And Red Lake is known for narrow high-grade mineralization, but the first mine in the Red Lake camp before the ones that are operating today was the Howie Hasaga operation, and it produced 640,000 ounces up until 1952 at an average grade of about 4 grams per ton, but unlike today's mine, was a bulk underground mine. Mm-hmm. And that deposit was open at depth, and we own 100%, and we're now drilling off the depth extension. And our top hole drilled in 2018 was 54 meters of 10.9 grams per ton, and we had other intercepts of 50 meters of 9.2 and 67 meters of 4 grams. So it's a very big zone that is open for expansion. We'll be drilling it out this year. And at the end of this year's program, we hope to complement the open pit resource with an underground resource that extends the old mine, hopefully hundreds of meters down plunge, and will become what we hope is the best prospect to be developed in the entire Red Lake camp.
Wow. Interesting, because there's another one that I have my eyes on that's getting a lot of attention. That's Great Bear. But anyway, that's saying something. That's for sure. Really exciting, Ewan. And you're pretty well funded, you said. How much money you have in the till? And I guess a lot of that has to go to keep your 40% interest alive and to do these other exploration projects. But how much do you have in the till, and how far will that take you?
We ended 2000 and we ended 2019 with a treasury of over $58 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's $58 million U.S. And since then, we completed a $38 million public offering and a $15.5 million gold prepay. So an additional $50 million cash. So we're very well funded. And if there were a longer delay in Mexico, we wouldn't expect our balance sheet to be pressured. And we do have our Nevada mine is still working and generating cash, so we're in good shape for the future.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Ewan. It is an exciting story. It's one I felt our listeners needed to know about, so I want to thank you very much for taking the time to share that with us.